You're listening to a special edition of Away with Words. I'm Martha Barnett.
And I'm Grant Barrett. Today we're talking about money, currency, moolah, bread. And Martha, I have another quiz for you.
Great.
I've got a quote for you. You have to tell me who said it in what movie.
In movies? Oh.
It's a trivia question, okay. All right? A fool and his money are lucky enough to get together in the first place. It's a good quote, right? Because the standard quote is, a fool and his money are soon parted.
Right.
And this is a response to that. A fool and his money are lucky to get together in the first place.
Oh, I don't know. Mae West, Will Rogers, Harry Potter.
Oh, more recent than that. A little more recent than that.
More recent than that?
He's alive still.
Viola. Oh.
The actor who played the character is still alive.
Okay.
Shall I just rescue you?
Yes, please. I'll pay you.
Gordon Gekko, played by Michael Douglas in Wall Street in 1987. Yeah, the first one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the first one has all these great quotes that sometimes are misunderstood by people in Wall Street as being like an incitement to have more greed. But really, the whole thing was supposed to be about just kind of exploding this whole idea that greed was somehow
good.
It stopped being a sin. Yeah, greed is good.
Yeah,
that's the best quote for the movie, right?
Yeah. Well, Grant, that was a tough one, but don't worry, I have one for you coming up. We're going to get to that a little bit later, but right now, let's take a call.
Hello, you have a way with words.
Hello, this is Pat in Madison, Wisconsin. And I have a question about a phrase that popped into my head while I was watching a theater production called Viva Vegas.
Viva Vegas!
Viva Vegas!
What is this, a lot of Elvis songs and Wayne Newton and Penn and Teller knockoffs?
It started with, it was a dinner theater playhouse, and it started with Frank Sinatra and the Rat Pack.
Okay.
And then moved on through the 60s and had a cast of about 10 people, six of them were women. And they were spread around the stage for the most part, but for the Chubby Checker, Let's Do the Twist song, they were grouped together, and I noticed that one of them was noticeably shorter and curvier than the other women. The phrase that popped into my head was Pocket Venus. And then I thought, where the heck did that come from? And am I thinking of it correctly?
Yes, you were using it correctly.
And it's widespread. You didn't invent it, but I mean, no, nothing off of you, but it just like it's a term. I'm surprised actually the other people didn't know it.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Where does it come from?
Well, I don't know that it's all that common now, but since the 1760s or so, that term has been around in exactly the way that you described it. A couple of centuries earlier, people would refer to a beautiful woman as a Venus, you know, like the Roman goddess.
Right.
Pat, do you happen to be a Downton Abbey fan?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I am.
Well, you'll be very happy to know that there's a Downton Abbey connection here. Because
really?
You know that building, Highclere Castle, where the series is filmed, the estate?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It belongs to the Earl and Countess of Carnarvon. And back in the 1890s, the fifth Earl of Carnarvon married a young heiress named Almina, and she was widely known as a Pocket Venus.
Because, really?
Yes, she was barely 5 feet tall. And she was a real femme fatale, and there was a sex scandal later, and all this exciting stuff. And actually, the Earl was one of the co-discoverers of King Tut's tomb.
Yeah, yes, I was going to ask you.
Yes,
that.
Yes, and she was, Evelyn Waugh's aunt. I mean, it just goes on and on. And the reason I know about this is because two books have just come out about this family. But she was known as the Pocket Venus,
even in that
sex scandal. But you know what? I've never heard anybody use Pocket Venus in real life. I've only read about it. Have you heard it, Grant?
I don't think it would fly now, really. Well, it might, but people just have to be clear that you didn't mean it derogatorily, right? People have to know that you meant it as a compliment.
What?
Yes. Right.
Yes. Yeah. And I didn't even say it out loud. It just popped into my head, and I wondered where it came from. And I also wondered if I was thinking of it correctly, because it was both the height and the curves.
Yep, yep.
Just made me think of it.
Yeah.
So. Yep, just cute enough to put in your pocket. And all I can say is you must be very well read, Pat.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Or 200 years old, but I don't think it's the latter.
Actually, she knew King Tut back when.
But as a retired school teacher, I have to give you the compliment that you make learning fun, and that's the best thing I can say about anyone.
Yay! Aww. That's at the top of our mission statement, you know. Thank you so much,
Pat. You rock, Pat. Thank you so much for calling.
Well, thank you.
Right.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Viva Vegas.
Bye-bye. Hello, you have a way with words.
Hello, this is John Williams. I'm calling from Petrolia, California.
Well, John, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I've always been fond of colorful slang, and especially the kind that conjures an image. So I wanted to ask about a phrase I heard only once back in 1966. I was working in a political campaign office in a black neighborhood in Oakland, California. And we had a couple of young women working regularly in the office, and there was an older gentleman who started spending a good deal of time there as well, and then disappeared. And the man who was running the office explained to me that he had told the man to leave because he had his nose open behind Elaine. And Elaine was one of the young women who worked in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who spent time around animals knows what that phrase means. It means displaying a sexual interest in.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the only time I've heard it.
Nose open, 1960s, among African Americans in Oakland, California.
Mm-hmm.
From somebody who grew up in East Texas.
Okay, from somebody who grew up in East Texas. John, that's a great field report, I got to tell you.
Yeah, that's terrific.
That's good data.
Yeah.
we can do something with that.
So what was the exact phrase that they used again?
That the man had his nose open behind the woman.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, you're exactly right. It comes from exactly that image that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
About, you know, just being so hot for someone. You're like an animal on the prowl.
All your senses are alert.
Yeah. There's actually a term for that, the Flamen response. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
Flehmen. That's the curling of the lip and the raising of the head. You know how cats do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, and they get their noses really wide open, all the better to take in those pheromones.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. But it is African-American slang, right?
Yes.
It goes back to the 1940s at least.
Yes. And there's some great songs from the 60s. We should link to those on our website.
Okay. Can you sing some now?
Well, there's Gene Taylor. He sings "You Got My Nose Wide Open" and some great stuff. I mean, it's the whole idea that you are just so hot for somebody, you are out of control. He says, every day as I'm walking down the street, it's a bad situation. I don't know my head from my feet. I mean, you're just crazed with desire.
And, you know, this has been used, Jack Kerouac used this expression in On the Road. There's a scene where he's talking to somebody, I believe it's in a bar, and the guy is saying how he tries to stay away from the women because he gets in so much trouble. He says, the only trouble is my nose opens up and I can't tell what I'm doing.
Okay.
So it's
I read that once long ago, but it went by me that time.
Yeah, well, that book is just rich with classic American language. It's funny that you should remember this term decades later, and it struck you as so colorful or significant that here you are telling us about it.
Well, I like slang that evokes an image.
John, thank you for sharing with us. If you've got anything else that occurs to you, by all means, give us a call again, will you?
I shall do that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, John. Okay, Grant, you're ready? I have your question for you.
Okay, yeah, right. Shoot.
Okay. According to the Federal Bureau of Engraving and Printing, what is the average lifespan of a $10 bill? Is it A, 1 year, B, 2 years, or C, 18 months?
18 months.
You're right. How did you know this?
Lucky. That's it. It was just lucky. But I'm surprised, actually, how little life there is in this currency. And they've done all this work to make sure that it's good cloth stock so that it lasts longer
and that
it can withstand washing and all
75%
kinds of chemicals.
Yeah, 75% cotton, isn't it?
Yeah,
I
something
have clothes like
that.
Yeah.
It's incredible. What's the rest of it made out of? Clouds, fairy dust, candy canes? Stick around, because coming up, we'll be making some mistakes of our own when NPR Puzzle Master Will Short stops by to quiz us.
But first, please tell your local public radio station how much you appreciate programming that tickles your funny bone and respects your intelligence. You can do that with a contribution in any amount. It all adds up. Here's the number to call.